I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is October 18th, 2014. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today, an essay by Valerie Richardson of the Washington Times, entitled "Scalia Defends Keeping God and Religion in the Public Square." Her article begins, "Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia said that secularists are wrong when they argue the Constitution requires religious references to be banished from the public square." Valerie, Scalia just committed the straw man logical fallacy. The Constitution does not require all religious references to be banned from the public square, only those that promote one religion over another. It all depends on the context. She continues, "Justice Scalia, part of the court's conservative wing, was preaching to the choir when he told the audience at Colorado Christian University that a battle is underway over whether to allow religion in public life, from referencing God in the Pledge of Allegiance to holding prayers before City Hall meetings." Valerie, the reason why a battle is underway is because Christians like Scalia are attempting to rewrite the Constitution by adding in something that the Founding Fathers intentionally left out, the Christian God. She wrote, "Justice Scalia said, quote, I think the main fight is to dissuade Americans from what the secularists are trying to persuade them to be true, that the separation of church and state means that the government cannot favor religion over non-religion," end quote. Scalia, the Founding Fathers apparently did not agree, and in the Word document associated with this podcast, I provided him a link. Nor did the North after its victory over the Confederacy, and I provided him a link to the 14th Amendment. So it isn't secularists who are trying to persuade Americans that our government cannot favor religion over non-religion. It's our Constitution. It is you, Scalia, who is trying to persuade Americans that our Constitution doesn't really mean what it says it means, but means what you say it means. Scalia continues, "That's a possible way to run a political system. The Europeans run it that way." Scalia, why did you leave out so many other countries like Japan, Turkey, India, China, Russia, and America? Muslim nations are about the only ones who legalize theocracies, though you have made it clear in this essay that you have every intention of adding America to the list of theocratic states. Scalia said, "And if the American people want to do it, I suppose they can enact that by statute." Scalia, it is unnecessary to enact further secular statutes. The Founding Fathers already took care of that. He said, "But to say that's what the Constitution requires is utterly absurd." Scalia, then according to you, the entire historical roster of Supreme Court justices up until you and Clarence Thomas have been absurd. You don't see it, do you, Scalia? Now Valerie continues. Mr. Armstrong, a former U.S. senator, said, quote, "At no place on earth does Justice Scalia have as many admirers as he does on the Colorado Christian University campus," end quote. Big deal, Valerie. Just my high school graduating class alone had more members than that entire university. And I provided her a link to the admission stats for Colorado Christian University. And Valerie, notice the average GPA, 3.6. Are you buying that, Valerie? What does that tell you about the value of a degree from that campus? It has less value than a roll of Northern Quilted. You get an A- just for attending. Turn in one assignment, and they remove the minus. Valerie continues, Scalia, the High Court's longest-serving justice, said that even President Thomas Jefferson, who's credited with creating the concept of separation of church and state, wrote in the Virginia Declaration of Religious Freedom that, quote, God, who made the mind of man, made it free, end quote. Scalia, and that is supposed to mean what? That was your evidence? Let's just take a minute to look into the mind of Justice Scalia. He avoids confronting the embarrassing fact that one of our most famous founding fathers did, in fact, make it clear that their intent was to create a separation of church and state, and instead tries to insinuate that a general quote made by Jefferson about a free mind in some way supports Scalia's contradictory position on the separation of church and state. Even as an atheist, I have to say, thank God. Thank God my parents gave me a brain that functions. Scalia's parents apparently decided to skimp and inserted into his skull the genes for an extra butt cheek. Valerie continues. Justice Scalia said, quote, we do God honor in our Pledge of Allegiance. Scalia, not in the original version, Christians pressured Congress to add it in 1954, forcing rational people and those of other religions to pay homage to the Christian God. Scalia's quote continues, and in all our public ceremonies, there's nothing wrong with that. Scalia, maybe you should try asking the 25% of Americans who don't share your Christian faith before making that assertion. Then you might find out what is wrong with that. Scalia continues, it is in the best of American traditions, and don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Scalia, slavery was also an American tradition. Now maybe you can see why the argument from tradition is a logical fallacy. Scalia said, I think we have to fight that tendency of the secularists to impose it on all of us through the Constitution. Scalia, the tiny minority of secularists who can't even get elected dog catcher in America do not possess the power to impose anything on the Constitution. But as a Supreme Court justice, you do. And along with your conservative majority, that is exactly what you are doing by reinterpreting it to your liking. Now corporations are people and Jesus is Lord. Thanks for showing everyone, including the founding fathers and all previous justices, that they were all reading it incorrectly for the last 225 years. He said, the biggest danger lies with judges who interpret the Constitution as a malleable document that changes with the times. Scalia, if those judges are wrong, how do you explain the 27 constitutional amendments? Scalia continues, the court's latest take on the subject, which is quite different from previous takes. Scalia, thanks for the concession. Although I will admit that I'm surprised that you would admit that you are an activist judge. And just to be fair, it's not the court's take. It is the five male Catholic conservatives' take. While you guys are answering to a higher authority, the other four members of the court are trying to honor their oath to uphold the Constitution, which they attempt to do in spite of their religious beliefs. Scalia said, is that the state must be neutral, not only between religions, but between religion and non-religion. That's just a lie. Where do you get the notion that this is all unconstitutional? From the Constitution? He said, you can only believe that if you believe in a morphing Constitution. Scalia, didn't you get a class in law school on amendments? I got that in high school government. Now Valerie continues. Given that he doesn't believe in the morphing constitution, Justice Scalia said his job is relatively stress-free. Sure, Valerie, my life could be nearly stress-free too if I deluded myself into believing that an invisible ghost would take care of everything for me and even relieve me of the burden of thinking. Scalia said, quote, if I had the other view of the Constitution, that it was an empty bottle which was to be filled by my court, and it was my responsibility to decide all these massive ethical questions, if they were all my call, I couldn't sleep at night. And some of my colleagues have said that they agonize a lot. I don't agonize at all. Scalia, what they meant was they agonize over your decisions. He continues, I look at the text, I look at the history of the text. Scalia, and then you go to work on how to bastardize it, to make it fit into your religious beliefs. Yeah, we already know how and why you do it. We all just wish that you would die soon, so someone deserving of a position on the Supreme Court could have a chance at defending our Constitution, since you won't. Scalia said, that's the answer. It's not my call. Now Valerie continues. Scalia noted that references to God by government officials are already forbidden in many European countries, thanks to a widespread policy of secularism. Valerie, it is also forbidden in America by our Constitution, but Christians have focused their resources on infiltrating the judiciary where they can interpret the law as they want it to be rather than how it is written. This speech by Scalia is a perfect example of what happens when they succeed. That is the main reason Republicans are holding up every single Obama judicial nomination, something unprecedented in American history. As Christians continue to hemorrhage members, money, and influence, their tactics will become ever more desperate. Where once they made up nearly 100% of the American population, they now make up about 75%. This is why Christians, specifically evangelical Christians, found mostly in the Republican Party, resort to voter suppression, gerrymandering, lying, and threats of violence to maintain their control of political power. Justice Scalia said, quote, there are those who would have us adopt that rule for America. Scalia, the rule has already been adopted by our founding fathers and defended in countless cases by the Supreme Court. But you now have a slight majority in the Supreme Court, giving evangelical Christians the power to force their beliefs on Americans, while simultaneously defecating on our most precious document and cherished principles. Scalia continues, and if they want us to adopt that rule, let's put it to a vote. Scalia, I really have to wonder how many classes you skipped out of in law school. Even high school students learn that inalienable rights are not decided by majority vote. Our democracy was designed to protect the rights of minorities from the brutal domination that the majority always wants to inflict on them. This is something you should not have to be told, Scalia. And he concludes by saying, but if they want to do it through the Supreme Court, and that is simply not what our Constitution has ever meant. End quote. Wrong, Scalia. It is the Supreme Court conservative majority that is rewriting our Constitution. But just like Justice Taney's support of slavery was overturned, all rational people are working to ensure that you will occupy a similar place in American history. And now we move to the science segment. Today's story. Chemists recruit anthrax to deliver cancer drugs. Anthrax bacteria have very efficient machinery for injecting toxic proteins into cells, leading to the potentially deadly infection known as anthrax. Researchers have now hijacked that delivery system for a different purpose, administering cancer drugs. Researchers showed that they could use this disarmed version of the anthrax toxin to deliver two proteins known as antibody mimics, which can kill cancer cells by disrupting specific proteins inside the cells, This is the first demonstration of effective delivery of antibody mimics into cells, which could allow for the development of new drugs for cancer and many other diseases. Antibodies, which are natural proteins the body produces to bind to foreign invaders, are a rapidly growing area of pharmaceutical development. Inspired by natural protein interactions, scientists have designed new antibodies that can disrupt proteins such as the HER2 receptor found on the surfaces of some cancer cells. The resulting drug, Herceptin, has been successfully used to treat breast tumors that overexpress the HER2 receptor. Several antibody drugs have been developed to target other receptors found on cancer cell surfaces. However, the potential usefulness of this approach has been limited by the fact that it is very difficult to get proteins inside cells. This means that many potential targets have been undruggable. Crossing the cell membrane is really challenging. One of the major bottlenecks in biotechnology is that there really doesn't exist a universal technology to deliver antibodies into cells. For inspiration to solve this problem, researchers turned to nature. They have been working for decades to understand how anthrax toxins get into cells. Recently, researchers have started exploring the possibility of mimicking this system to deliver small protein molecules as vaccines. The anthrax toxin has three major components. One is a protein called protective antigen, which binds to receptors called TEM8 and CMG2 that are found on most mammalian cells. Once protective antigen attaches to the cell, it forms a docking site for two anthrax proteins called lethal factor and edema factor. These proteins are pumped into the cell through a narrow pore and disrupt cellular processes, often resulting in the cell's death. However, this system can be made harmless by removing the sections of the lethal factor and edema factor proteins that are responsible for their toxic activities, leaving behind the sections that allow the proteins to penetrate cells. Researchers then replace the toxic regions with antibody mimics, allowing these cargo proteins to catch a ride into cells through the protective antigen channel. The antibody mimics are based on protein scaffolds that are smaller than antibodies but still maintain structural diversity and can be designed to target different proteins inside a cell. Researchers successfully targeted several proteins, including BCR-ABL, which causes chronic myeloid leukemia. Cancer cells in which that protein was disrupted underwent programmed cell suicide. The researchers also successfully blocked HRAF1, a protein that is overactive in many cancers. And now we move to the final segment of the show, Famous Quotes. Today, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, born 1882, died 1945 at the age of 63. Commonly known by his initials, FDR, Roosevelt was the 32nd President of the United States. A Democrat, he was elected four times and served from March 1933 until his death in April 1945. In his first 100 days in office, Roosevelt spearheaded major legislation and issued a profusion of executive orders that instituted the New Deal, a variety of programs designed to produce relief, such as government jobs for the unemployed, recovery, economic growth, and reform, such as regulation of Wall Street, banks, and transportation. The economy improved rapidly from 1933 until 1937, but then relapsed into a deep recession. The bipartisan conservative coalition that formed in 1937 prevented his packing the Supreme Court. For the rest of his days in office, it blocked all proposals for major liberal legislation, except for a minimum wage law. Most of the regulations on business continued in effect until they ended around 1975 to 1985. Except for the regulation of Wall Street by the Securities and Exchange Commission, which still exists. Along with several smaller programs, major surviving programs include the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation and Social Security. With very strong national support, he made war on Japan and Germany after the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. In 1942, Roosevelt ordered the internment of 100,000 Japanese American civilians. He supervised the mobilization of the U.S. economy to support the Allied war effort. Unemployment dropped to 2%. Relief programs largely ended, and the industrial economy grew rapidly to new heights as millions of people moved to new jobs in war centers. And 16 million men and 300,000 women were drafted or volunteered for military service. All economic sectors grew during the war. As an active military leader, Roosevelt implemented an overall war strategy on two fronts that ended in the defeat of the Axis powers and the development of the world's first nuclear bomb. His work also influenced the later creation of the United Nations. Roosevelt is consistently rated by scholars as one of the top three U.S. presidents, along with Abraham Lincoln and George Washington. Now for the quote. From Franklin Roosevelt. I ask you to judge me by the enemies I have made.
Are you ready, Goose? Start walking.